present George Burns and Tracy Allen. And Henry King and his music. From the Lily Pond picture, that girl from Paris, Henry King and his orchestra are playing Love and Learn. Tracy will be with us in just a minute. Meanwhile, I want to ask this question. How good must the chicken soup be to become such a sensation that women are buying three times more of it today than they did only a short while ago? Well, I believe I can guess what your answer to that is. It must be extra good. And I know that the moment you taste Campbell's chicken soup, you'll agree with that too. Chicken soup to be so extra good. It's the wonderful chicken flavor. The golden glistening chicken broth. The pieces of tender chicken meat, the snowy rice, the gentle seasoning, the appetizing through-and-through old-fashioned chicken soup goodness. I know you'll say it equals the best homemade chicken soup you ever had. It makes a particularly tempting, nourishing lunch or supper these cold days. So why not ask your grocer tomorrow for Campbell's Chicken Soup? And here are George and Gracie.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, boy, you certainly missed it. Did we have fun New Year's Eve, did we? Mm. Well, we had more fun than a barrel of bunkies.
A barrel of bunkies?
Yes.
Gracie, you mean a barrel of monkeys. Continue.
Well, that's what I said, a barrel of bunkies.
Well, for a minute, I thought you were wrong.
Yeah.
No more.
Well, anywho, I was at a party, and they were dancing, and everybody was glued to the stilts.
Glued to the stilts?
Yes.
Glued to the gills. You mean they were petrified.
Petrified?
I mean petrified. You've got me silly now.
Yeah, now.
Now, eh? Well, all right, so you had a good time.
Good time? Well, I was with a party that...
Five?
Yeah, well, that is, he'll be 85 in April.
Now, because the prunes were stewed, too.
Yeah. I don't get it.
Well, I don't either.
And you know, George, my granddaddy is so old that instead of taking for the drinks, he drinks for the shakes.
He's probably an old rumba dancer.
So, when we got home, my grandmother looked at my granddaddy and said, Hal,
the kid's name is Hal?
Yeah, well, of course, she only calls him Hal for short. His whole name is Alka-Hal.
Oh, Alka-Hal, yes.
Yes,
Alka-Hal. So your grandmother asked your granddaddy where he'd been.
Yes, and he didn't answer. He just fell down the stairs with two quarts of liquor.
That's right. And did he spill the liquor?
No, he kept his mouth closed.
And Henry, what did you do New Year's?
Well, I went fishing through the ice.
Fishing through the ice?
Well, that's a nice way of spending New Year's. Yeah. I fished through the ice for 20 minutes until I got that cherry in the bottom of the glass.
And very good, too.
And, Tony, what did you do for New Year's?
Well, George, I went out New Year's Eve. You know, I was a little homesick. I didn't have a drink.
Well, now, I'm glad to hear that, Tony. On account of lips that touch liquor will never touch mine.
That's right. Your lips.
No, my liquor.
Tony, in case you should have any trouble with Gracie tonight, just call on me.
Oh, don't worry about me, George. Gracie's putty in my hands.
Oh, thanks, Tony. And I think you're putty, too.
All right.
Putty and putty.
Well, Tony, I think there should be a wire for you.
Yeah.
Tony. King, have you got a wire?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Tony. There's a wire for you.
I'm sorry. It was my line. I see
it. Oh, George, you're lying.
Oh, I don't see it.
Thank you, Henry.
Keep this up, and I'll put you both back in the trunk.
That's good,
excuse me a minute, George.
Oh, yes, the wire.
Oh, come on, Tony. What's in the wire?
Well, what do you think I am? A gentleman never reveals confidences. Things like this are sacred.
There's nothing in the wire, George. It's from Alice Faye, and she says she'll never meet her Tony Woney at the Twainy Wainy when he arrives in Hollywoody, and she signs it Faisy Waisy.
Oh, I see. Double talk Faisy Waisy, eh? Isn't that pretty?
You know, George, every woman starts to talk baby talk when she's old enough.
Mm-hmm, I get it.
Gracie, why don't you make a resolution to manage your own business, and Henry, Tony, and I will manage to have a good time.
Well, I did make a resolution. I made a resolution that now Tony Martin can't even kiss me after he's off the program.
Tony Martin has never even tried to kiss you while he's on this program.
And why do you think he's going off this program?
I can't imagine, but I know it isn't Alice Faye.
Oh, no, but he can come back sometime.
When?
When Faye is gone and shadows
when Faye is gone. Quiet, quiet.
In other words, no kissy, no worky.
That's right. No necky, no checky.
No necky, no checky.
Gracie, Tony Martin can't kiss you or he'd be breaking your resolution.
Well, he doesn't have to hold me that tight, does he?
Love must be a marvelous thing.
Yes, I've heard very highly spoken of.
Oh, yeah, that stuff gets around.
Yeah.
Before this goes too far, I think I'd better confess. I sent the wire for a rib.
Why, another check?
Gracie, this whole story came out of my head, and there's absolutely nothing in it.
Oh, Henry, you're just self-conscious.
Well, Ken Roberts, the only one on this program Gracie hasn't picked on is you.
Well, George, yes. Now, isn't that Pecula?
Oh, yes, it's quite Pecula, yeah.
Our announcer here in New York is Ken Roberts, and our announcer in California is Ken Niles.
Yeah, Ken Roberts and Ken Niles. Two Ken.
Well, sure. You know, with Campbell's Chicken Soup, even their announcers have to come in Ken's.
Tony, the song.
In dreams I once designed you, then told a star that I would never find you. My heart must know.
By Henry King and his orchestra.
Accompanied by Henry King and his orchestra?
Yes.
Henry,
yep.
Did you ever hear of that game called Follow the Leader?
Well, certainly.
Well, your musicians didn't.
I don't get it.
Yes.
Gracie, how does New York look to you after being away nearly a year?
Well, I've never seen any place so changed. The last time we were here, it was Tuesday, and now it's Wednesday.
I see. It's never a Tuesday on a Wednesday.
Oh, George, even when you're right, you sound silly.
I sound silly, huh?
But then again, sometimes you don't, and then again, I wouldn't think of it.
Sometimes I don't, and then again, you wouldn't think of it.
Yeah, because after all, it's more important to anybody than it is to other people, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Gracie, do you know what you're talking about?
Oh, thanks, George. I'm glad you understand.
Listen, one of these days, you're going to go with me to a brain specialist.
Oh, Freddy Cat, scared to go alone, huh?
If I had the teeny-weeny brain that you have...
You'd at least have a teeny-weeny brain.
Talking to you is like talking to a moving picture dummy.
Now, you've got no right to call him a moving picture dummy just because he makes love to Alice Faye.
I say.
Thanks, Gracie.
You're welcome, Tony.
Say, Tony, how are you enjoying your first visit to New York City?
Fine, Henry. Say, you remember that girl, Constance Wilson, that Alice Faye wished to take care of me?
Uh-huh.
Well, she took me sightseeing.
Have you seen the Empire State Building, the aquarium, Grant's tomb, and Old Point...
No,
Grant?
But I saw Milgram's today.
You did?
What? Oh, now, I think it's silly to visit those foolish places like Central Park and the Bronx Zoo and the Metropolitan Museum of Art and Radio City when you can go sightseeing in a dress shop like Milgram.
I think you've got something, Richard.
Oh, you should have seen Constance when I bought her that mink coat. She was like a kid with a new toy.
You bought her a mink coat?
Yeah.
Henry, did you?
I heard. He bought her a mink coat. Ken.
I know. He bought her a mink coat.
You bought her a mink coat and you only know her a week?
Oh, sure. You don't think Tony would buy mink coats for strangers, do you?
Well, now I feel better.
Of course, I didn't just buy it for Constance.
Oh, no. You knew it would make Alice Faye happy.
Sure. She's Alice's girlfriend.
Well, I know how you feel, Tony. Any friend of Alice's is a mink coat from you.
You said it, Gracie.
Speaking of mink coats, look who's coming.
Oh, hello, Tony boy.
Hello, Connie.
How do you do, Miss Allen?
Well, I don't do as well as you do.
It's coming.
I hear you've been minking this afternoon.
Oh, Tony, that coat is beautiful, and I adore those dresses and shoes.
Oh, so you've been shoeing and dressing, too. Did you do any hatting and gloving?
You know, Miss Wilson, Alice Faye is a very lucky person to have a girlfriend like you that Tony can buy things for.
Oh, I hated to have him spend so much money on me.
Oh, but if it makes Tony happy, who are you to deny him any pleasure?
Yes.
Well, that's just what I said to myself. Constance, you mustn't be selfish.
Oh, you know, Tony, I think you ought to buy Constance an automobile. You owe it to Alice.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Gracie. Miss Wilson has meant a lot to Tony.
Thanks, George.
Yes, he came to New York a stranger. Now, I took him to Milgram's, and I took him to Saks Fifth Avenue, and I took him to Tiffany.
Oh, I can see you certainly took him.
I think Miss Wilson has done a lot of good for Tony.
Well, nobody could have done any more good for him.
Oh, sure. Outside of Mae West.
Well, I'm thinking...
My mind is in Egypt tonight.
You're telling me.
Yes, I'm thinking very seriously of letting Tony take me to Hollywood. I might go into moving pictures.
Oh, well, now it would be foolish to go all the way to Hollywood. You could see the same pictures here in New York.
Well, Gracie, Constance heard of a part at Paramount, and my agent might be able to get it for her.
What kind of a part is it?
Well, it's the part of a young girl who... Oh, but why should I talk about it? I'm probably too late for it now.
Yeah, about 20 years.
I'd love to see you get it, Connie. The part of a sweet, young, innocent...
Oh, don't be silly, Tony. Miss Wilson doesn't want to play character parts.
Mm.
fresh air. You trying to insult Miss Wilson?
I'm not even trying.
I can see that, yes.
I'll have you know that the only reason I took Tony Martin into Milgram's was because he wanted to use a telephone.
Oh, now I understand. And he was ashamed to come out without buying anything, so he bought you a mink coat.
Gracie, will you stop making a fuss over a measly $5,000?
Listen to me, Gracie Allen. If I had that mink coat here now, I'd throw it right at you.
What size is it?
What size is it?
I just did what Tony told me to do. He told me to pick out a coat to match my personality.
Oh, and they were all out of weasel, huh?
Good night, my love. Plum table chickens and then use every bit of the good tender meat exclusively for making chicken soup? That's exactly what Campbell's do to give you the finest chicken soup you ever tasted. And they simmer the broth slowly until every golden drop is delicious with chicken flavor and rich with nourishing chicken goodness. I could go on talking all night about it, telling you of the many different things that Campbell's skilled chefs do to perfect its wonderful flavor and deep down richness. But I'd rather have the soup say it all for itself. For I know you'll then agree that it equals the finest homemade chicken soup you ever tasted. So why not serve Campbell's chicken soup for lunch tomorrow? And here are George and Gracie.
Because we're leaving for Hollywood tomorrow, and the people of New York have been so nice to me. Donald Eason my recipe on how to make a Hollywood sweetie pie.
A Hollywood sweetie pie?
Yes.
Well, that ought to be interesting, and I know that they'll admire your crust.
Recipe.
Yes.
Now, first take a couple of berries.
Blueberries or blackberries?
Oh, no, raspberries.
Oh, raspberries, the big ones, yes.
Now, have you got two bowls, home?
Two bowls?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, use a good-looking one.
Which one is that?
John.
John Bowl, that's that big bowl, yes.
Yes. And then you add a raft of spice.
No raft, but who's spice?
Ginger.
Oh, yes, ginger.
But not too much ginger, it'll give you up there.
I get it, and I suppose if you haven't got enough, you can always bury more.
Oh, well, nice roasted, more power to you.
Thanks.
Then?
Yes, what do you do then?
Then you add a little butterworth.
Just a trace of it?
Yes.
I see.
Then you light the stove, and you put the pie in the Oberon.
In the Oberon, yes.
But don't let it stand like overnight.
Don't let it stand with overnight. This is really an easy recipe.
Oh, well, it's not a hardy.
A hardy. I get it, yes.
Now, the trick is to let it simmer twice.
The trick is to let it simmer twice?
Yes, simmer.
And is it good?
Is it good? Oh, boy, yeah.
Oh, boy, well, I think we've had
it. George, I think somebody wants to see you. There's a guy standing outside.
Guy standing? I'm going to have trouble with you, too.
Well, is he tall and handsome? Has he got beautiful eyes and an adorable face and a kissable mouth?
Oh, no.
Well, then tell him I don't want him. Either.
I see. I'll tell him, Bessie, when he comes in. Bessie, every man isn't tall and handsome. Once in a while, you run across a man who's dull and homeless.
Oh, George, you must get over that inferiority complex.
Well, I'll do my best.
I'm from Milton, the credit department. Yes. I'm here to check up on an account that was opened by a Mr. Tony Martin. Mm. He gave your name as reference.
Oh, sure. You don't have to worry about him.
Oh, thank you. Because we're to deliver a mink coat and dresses to a Miss Constance Wilson, and I thought that if you...
Oh, Tony Martin.
Yes.
Say, George, was he fired last week or the week before?
Percy, Tony Martin just got through singing a song.
Oh, you see, mister, I told you he was through.
Mm.
Oh, George, will you help me out?
Okay, listen, mister. This is just a lover's quarrel. You see, Miss Allen wants Mr. Martin to kiss her, and because he refuses to kiss her...
I'm only a credit man. I'm not interested in kissing.
Well, I'm not either.
Well, I am. Mm-hmm. Gracie, I'll kiss you.
I see. This is our Mr. King who wants to be kissed.
Mister, have you any objections to kissing?
Oh, I, no.
Well, good. Then you kiss Mr. King, and I'll devote all my time to Tony. Mm.
Gracie, I think you've got something there.
Kiss Mr. King. Say, I'm a credit man from Milgram's, and I'm not kissing a man.
Are you insinuating Henry King isn't a man?
Henry, why did you stop it?
Well, I just said I'd kiss Gracie and...
Quiet. Had enough of it.
Pardon me, but I'm from Tiffany's jewelry store.
Oh, well, then you kiss him.
What is it, mister?
Tony Martin gave a Gracie Allen this reference and bought a diamond ring from her.
So Tony also bought Constance Ring a diamond Wilson?
Huh?
Oh, nuts. Here I am talking like a fool.
Oh, well, George, I'm glad to see that you're old self again.
Yes.
I bought Constance a diamond ring because she wanted something to go with her mink coat.
Is his credit okay, Miss Allen?
Oh, certainly. It won't take him long to find another job.
Yes.
Hey, there's a chance of us not getting our money.
Then we better not recommend the account.
Yeah, I always take care of my business obligations.
Tony, why don't you kiss her and get it over with?
That's my business.
Well, then stop neglecting your business.
I think so, too.
If I want to give Constance Wilson a mink coat and a diamond ring, that's my affair. And who's going to stop me?
We are. Listen, boys, you've got them all wrong.
Here's
now,
a telegram for you, Tony.
That's probably another one of Henry's jokes. Give it to George.
Wait a minute. Henry, this is really from Hollywood. Listen to this. Dear Tony, I'm listening to your broadcast, and I don't know any Constance Wilson, and didn't tell anybody to look you up. The woman is an imposter. Signed, Alice Faye. What?
Oh, just as I thought, that Wilson girl is nothing but a gold digger and a cook.
Three people.
Let's see that. Well, I guess you're right, Gracie.
You got to be thankful, Tony. Gracie saved you a lot of money.
Oh, well, I was glad to do it. If there's anything I heard at the gold digger, how any woman can take mink coats and diamonds from a man, I can't understand.
Gracie, I know you saved me a lot of money, and to show you my appreciation, I'd like to give you a little gift.
Oh, forget it, Tony. Don't be silly.
That's all right, Gracie. You saved him a mink coat and diamond ring. If he wants to show his appreciation by giving you a little gift, let him do it.
Oh, all right, Tony, if it'll make you happy.
Ah, that's swell, Gracie. Now, what would you like me to give you?
Oh, I know. Just a mink coat and a diamond ring.
Henry, the music.
Get along so well. You have me, but not a bit of money. Still, a combination would be swell. Oh, baby, what I do with plenty of money and you, in spite of the worries and money. Just a little boogie-loo, survive a lot of things. And you can take me to places I like to go. But outside of that, I know you for gold. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But give me that money and you'll go. Dig, dig a little deeper. Dig, 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 dig a little deeper. That's the gold digger's lullaby. I'd like a bottle that was made of mink. I'd like to have been with champagne and green. I'd like a sticker in a diamond ring. And you can't imagine how much joy a yacht can bring. And I play all over the jitters in winter time. I'm trying to see errors in summertime. Show the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that my source is honey, the plenty of money and you.
Makers of those fine Campbell soups invite you to listen in and laugh with George Burns and Gracie Allen again next Wednesday. Meanwhile, remember that you can have the finest chicken soup you ever tasted simply by asking for Campbell's chicken soup. You'll find it to be the delicious, nourishing, old-fashioned kind.
The leader is marrying Vilma Lewis right after our broadcast tonight. And if you're not listening in, Vilma Lewis is marrying Henry King, our orchestra leader, right after our broadcast tonight, and vice versa, and we're invited. And Gracie Scoop Allen.
Speaking, this is the Columbia Broadcasting System.